This morning we're going to talk about a mystery. And a mystery is something that really smart people can't understand just because they're smart. But rather we need God to give us understanding. So let's pray that he would do that. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for the opportunity to come together as brothers and sisters. And I just want to ask that you would give us understanding in your word today. And every day, Lord, as we read it, Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to open our eyes to see things new and afresh and to be able to see how they apply to our own hearts. I ask that you would open our eyes this morning to this mystery that you've ordained to be recorded in Scripture for us to ponder. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so it's in 1 Timothy chapter 3. So 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, and it says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory." So it's called the mystery of godliness. And I'm going to read a little bit here. I'm going to be reading a little bit from the Living Bible. It's like a paraphrase, but it makes it really clear in some ways. So what is this mystery of godliness? And it says this in the Living Bible. It says, "The way to live a godly life." And it says, "is not an easy matter, but the answer lies in Christ." It kind of makes it a little bit clearer. So the mystery of godliness is all about how... What's the mystery? What is the mystery? What's the secret to living a godly life? And the secret lies in Christ. I like the way it paraphrases that. It brings us back to Christ. And it says here that God was manifested in the flesh. What does that mean? It means he came as a person, as a man. Jesus came to the earth as a man. And that's important. Because the fact that he came as a man allowed something to happen to him that could not have happened any other way. Right? I mean, God had been around from all eternity past. He's an infinite, eternal being. And Jesus Christ was with him. It says even in the beginning, right? The word was with God when he created the earth. So even before that, Jesus was around. And Jesus is the word. But yet Jesus came as a man to the earth. And that's really important. This is part of the mystery. How do you and I live a godly life? We need to know that Jesus came as a man. Why is that important? Because it says in James 1 something about God. It says something here. It says in verse 13, James 1:13, it says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted." God cannot be tempted by evil. Nor does he himself tempt anyone. So you see, God cannot be tempted by evil, but yet what happened? Jesus, who is God, he came to the earth not as God, but as a man. Why? So he could be tempted. He could walk on the earth as you and I do. He could relate to us. This is very important for us to understand. It says he was tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. Then it says the next thing here. It says he was justified in the Spirit. The Living Bible says he was proved spotless and pure in his Spirit. He was proved spotless and pure. He was justified in the Spirit. In other words, he went through all kinds of temptations and tests, and yet he was shown that he was 100% pure. He didn't give in to those temptations. He didn't yield to the temptations. He was pure. Then it says he was seen by angels. All the angels were watching this mystery. I mean, they knew who Jesus was. They're created beings. They were made and formed by Christ. They knew who he was, but they were watching this mystery in action as Jesus came to the earth as a man, was tempted and yet proved spotless, right? Was blameless, overcame all the temptations. And then it says he was preached among the Gentiles, right, to the whole world. Everyone got to hear about Christ. And then it says he was believed on in the world. People ended up believing in him. And then he was received up into glory, or taken up into glory. This is a mystery. It says this is the way to live a godly life. We need to understand what Jesus did, what he went through. And it's really important for us, if we want to live a godly life, to understand the mystery. So we need God to give us each a revelation of who he is. When we're reading God's word, it's the scriptures that testify about him. We need to ask the Holy Spirit, when we read his Bible, we read the word every day, why are we reading it? Just because we have to do it? To say, yeah, I read it. I can get into that pattern. That's the wrong reason to read God's word. We want to read God's word because we want to know who he is. The scriptures testify of him. Lord, who are you? I want to see who you are. When I read your word, I want to come to a greater understanding of who you are in your character. And when we come to see that, we get to know who he is, but we also start to see, man, I don't quite line up with who he is. My life doesn't quite match who he is. What is sin? Sin is anything that's unlike Christ. So when I get a revelation of who Christ is and what he's like, I guess I'll get a revelation of how I'm unlike him. And when I'm unlike him, what does it give me an opportunity to do? To call on his name and say, God, please change me. Change me. I'm unlike you in this way. I need to be changed. I want to become like you. So we can repent of those things. And then we can become justified in our spirit like he was in his. When those tests come our way, how would Jesus respond? God, please give me of your Holy Spirit. Give me of your power and your grace to respond in the way you want me to respond in this situation. And that's how we can become justified in our spirit, right? Just like he was. In the same way, by the Holy Spirit, he's going to prove us what's inside of us. Are we pure or are we impure? It's going to be shown when we get tempted, right? If we're always yielding to the temptation, it's showing us we're impure. But he wants us to start to overcome the temptations. He wants to purify us, right? So that our lives also can then become, just like he was preached among the Gentiles, our very lives can then become just that, a sermon, a proclamation of who he is, because our lives will become like him. It says we're being transformed into his likeness from glory to glory. And so as we become and we bear that nature, our lives become the sermon to those around us. So those around us can realize, man, there's a better way to live. Look at my neighbor. Right? It was kind of a scary thing. The other day, Laurel was talking to one of our neighbors because an ambulance had showed up. And they're like, well, why was the ambulance there? And they, oh, it's okay. My mother-in-law's okay. Everything's fine. But our neighbor said, all of us around you from a different culture than you are, we're all talking about you and watching. That's what they told my wife. Oh boy, what kind of sermon am I preaching by my life? It's pretty important. Is it one that they're going to be able to say, hey, there's a better way to live? By God's grace, it will be. By God's grace, it's possible that we can represent Christ by our lives. That's what we ought to be doing. And so when we see that we're falling short of that, we need to repent. He wants to purify us so that we can become a pure testimony of who he is. So then those around us can also come to faith. Like, man, if it's possible for my neighbor, who's definitely a man like me, and he believes in God, right, who gives life, he can maybe do it for me too. So they can have faith and believe as well that Jesus can do the same thing for them. And so it's an important thing. So I'm going to read a couple more verses here because the next few verses show us the opposite way. So there's this mystery of how to become godly and live a godly life. It's through Jesus Christ. But there's also another way. It's man's way, an attempt to become godly, and it doesn't work. It says here in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. So look at this. There's going to become deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. These are really like teachings from the devil. They must be really terrible. Well, they are, but they don't actually sound that terrible. Listen closely. Here are some of these doctrines of demons. Some people, they forbid people to get married. They say, hey, you know what? You can become more holy or more godly if you just live a life as a single person. There's teachings like that even to this day. Is that the secret to living a godly life? Absolutely not. Some people think that it's based on what we eat. They're very consumed in what you eat or don't eat. They're commanding, it says, to abstain from foods which God has created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. But there's people that have teachings that command you not to eat certain foods that God has created, as if that's somehow going to be a key to living a godly life. These things you can do on your own strength. On your own strength, you can choose not to eat certain things, but that's not going to make you pure and spotless on the inside. Right? Through the blood of Jesus and through his grace, which will empower us to live a holy life, that's how. It's through him. The mystery and the key to godly life is Christ, not through these man-made teachings, which are actually called doctrines of demons. When I think of doctrines of demons, I think of some crazy teachings. But these ones here, they don't sound like that evil. But that's what Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, penned them to be, evil. Right? Thinking, giving people these man-made teachings as if that's somehow going to make you godly. That's a doctrine of demons. And so, I'm going to just finish off with a couple verses. There's a verse here in John 9. And it's about Christ. Many of us will have heard it before. It says in verse 5, this is Jesus speaking. Jesus said, As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But yet we know Jesus died, rose again, and ascended on high. And he told us something else in Matthew 5. It says here in verse 14, this is Jesus speaking again. He says, you are the light of the world. He's telling his disciples. So I have a question. Who is the light of the world right now? Is it Jesus or is it you and I? Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I'm the light of the world. But now Jesus, he's seated on his throne right beside the Father. He's no longer in the world. That's you and I. We're here to be the light of the world now. That's why the way we live our lives, are we partaking of this mystery of godliness? The secret of godliness is found in Jesus Christ. Is that being worked out in our own lives so that we are shining forth as a light in the world by our very actions? It says verse 16, 5:16 in Matthew, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. By the things that we do, people are going to be able to believe and then glorify God in heaven. That should be happening in our lives. And so this is a mystery. It says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. As Christ is in us, it should be changing us from the inside out. And it says his very life, which is supposed to be in us, is supposed to be the light of men. This is how our neighbors who dwell in darkness are going to be able to see a light. And so I guess I was encouraged by this. What areas in my life are unlike Christ? And am I going to him? Saying, God, change this area. I want to repent of this area of my life. I don't want to be like this anymore. But am I also believing that just as Jesus overcame, we also can overcome? He wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. He wants to give us of his grace, so that our lives don't have to be the same. Our prayers shouldn't be the same every day. Lord, please forgive me for the same sin day after day after day. It should change. There should be able to be victory over sin. Right? We shouldn't be a slave of sin, but we should be able to be changed, right? From glory to glory, becoming more and more like Christ, not staying the same, but rather there should be a change. This is the hope we have. And this is a secret that can be found in Christ. And so I'll leave you with that this morning.